Greetings. Once again, we're very happy to be with you in the Missionary Servants of Holy Love Radio Hour. And I'm here with Donna Marine Kyle. My name is Judy Heinekel. I'm a Missionary Servant of Holy Love. And we'd like to share with you tonight messages about the way of divine love, which Jesus has been sharing with us. We've actually all been very excited in the last week because Jesus has been talking to us about divine love, in particular, since December 13th of last year, after Blessed Mother ceased her public messages and he began them. And there are many messages to go through, but since August and through September and now in October, he's been talking to us about divine love intensely and has now given us a consecration to divine love. And we'd like to share with you with great enthusiasm what Jesus and Mary have been telling us about divine love. So we'd like to begin with the consecration itself, which Jesus gave us on October 12th. Don, would you like to lead us in that prayer?
This is the consecration to divine love. My Jesus, divine love itself, I consecrate myself completely to you. In and through this consecration, I unite my soul to divine love, understanding that in doing so, I will be a martyr of love. I choose to seek only your good measure in the present moment, Jesus. Thus I surrender to you my health, my appearance, and even my own comforts. Through this surrender, I pray that divine love will be victorious in every heart. Enfolded within this consecration to your divine love, sweet Jesus, find my yes to the divine will of God in every moment and with every breath. I seek nothing that you would not have me seek. I love no person, place, or thing beyond your will for me. I embrace every cross you permit and cherish every grace you provide. Amen.
Thanks, Don. Such a beautiful prayer. We are just so grateful to God for giving us this prayer and for all the preparation that he's done in doing that. It was interesting in looking back in the messages in December 30th of 98, he used that same word enfolded. He gave us a message about divine love on that day. He said, "My little soul, no one can be divine love, but you can experience divine love by imitating, living, and consecrating yourself to holy love. Be perfect. Perfect the holy love in your heart. Become the loving servant of all. My life on earth was such. Understand, my mercy and love are inseparable and eternal. Each moment you surrender to holy love takes you deeper, ever deeper into my mother's heart. Understand, her heart is enfolded in my sacred heart. Thus, in this union, you become spiritually united with your Savior and his mother. See then the importance of your yes in every present moment. Love and mercy surround you, encapsulate you in this simple surrender." And so the surrender to the present moment, that theme that's coming on over and over and over again and is repeated in the consecration, he was talking to us clearly about that from the beginning and how it's linked to holy love with his mother.
In other words, to Jesus through Mary. Yes. Holy love to divine love.
That's right. Remember in our youth how we used to put that, we would draw an M on all of our paperwork and put a cross through the middle, which meant to Jesus through Mary. And we're being taught how to live that right here. Again, the next day on New Year's Eve of 98, Jesus had said, "I will embrace you with my heart of divine love if you resolve to move along the path of holiness and righteousness by living the message of holy love. Divine love is a protection during this age of convoluted values." Isn't that the truth, an age of convoluted values? And then in January, he was talking to us more about divine love, and he said, "My dear disciples, I have come to call you deep into the mystery of divine love, which is my sacred heart. Travel the road of divine love through your deepening life in the virtues. My mother and I travel with you as we call you." And he told us that January 4th, and then he started on all the lessons on the virtues. So he warned us about holy love, divine love, traveling the road, and then told us how to do it in all the virtues. And we have such beautiful lessons, which we hope to shortly have available to all of you listeners in book form, so that you can see just how Jesus has been instructing us in the virtues. Then again on January 10th, he talked about holy and divine love, saying, I am Jesus, all merciful, all loving, born incarnate. I am calling you from holy love into divine love. The more little acts of love you render me, the deeper and more efficacious my embrace. Souls that are the deepest in my embrace are the ones who put love of God and neighbor first and always themselves last. My divine love is all around you today in this present moment and awaits you in the future. Taste and see its sweetness, for it is purer than any love known to you on earth. It is the foretaste of heaven. It is eternal. Let all your thoughts, words, and actions come from love and return to love. Well, that's back in January. And then he continued telling us so many more things about that, too many for us to share. So we'll kind of fast forward to August, to as he's becoming more specific again about divine love. And August 3rd, Jesus said, I have invited you to love the divine will. And that's true. He's been talking to us a lot about divine will, and he's going to point out to us that divine love and divine will are united. In this invitation, see the door opening to a deep and profound relationship with your Creator. In this commitment of mutual love, you will see my hand in all aspects of your life. When you enter into this type of love, divine love, I return to you a thousandfold what you give to me. When you love the divine will, you are a soul consecrated to divine love in the present moment. And here we find that he says those very same words again and again to us, and especially in the last week. Now, August 30th, he talked to us about divine love. Today I have come to help you understand the fullness of my call to holy and divine love. When you surrender completely to holy love, you must embrace all people. This means you are not repelled by their sins, their beliefs, or their disbeliefs. When you can do this and give up the world besides, you will be embraced by divine love. To be truly consecrated to divine love, and we'll remember the word consecrate means to entrust. To be truly consecrated to divine love means you embrace the eternal Father's holy and divine will in every present moment. This is the harmony I desire for you between you and your Creator, between every heart and their Creator. In this call lies hidden the perfection of every virtue. My solace during these troubled times is each one's effort towards this end. You must be living symbols of this call to divine love, living for each other and God as I have called you to do. You please make this known. And now we get into September, and he's still talking about divine love. Today I have come seeking your greater understanding of the virtues. The holy love in your heart in the present moment forms the vessel that embraces every virtue. The vessel is strengthened by surrender to holy love and weakened by self-love. Because holy love is the vessel that embraces every other virtue, know and understand that the depth of all virtue and the value of every act is determined by the degree of surrender to holy love. My brothers and sisters, divine love is beyond human knowledge and surpasses human understanding. But every now and then, you gain a glimpse of the wonder of divine love by imitating holy love. It is in this way that you are able to see such a forbearing God in the face of man's inhumanity to man. Understand that I reign in divine love over all humanity as each soul awaits the New Jerusalem. And it is in this divine love that I call you to the fullness of your redemption. And then divine love was referred to by Saint Michael when he came to us on the feast of Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. He was here and he said, often in the world, my brothers and sisters, you see me portrayed with a sword, defeating Satan and driving him out of heaven. But I tell you, more powerful than my sword is the heel of our most blessed mother, the Virgin Mary. This heel is comprised of those consecrated to holy and divine love, and it is this heel that will defeat Satan. And for those of you listeners in the area who can come to the property, you'll now see a beautiful statue of Saint Michael mounted in front of the property, and a good symbol of his defense of our property and of this message that's come to us from Jesus and Mary. And now into October, where we really have been given an abundance of graces. Jesus dangled the carrot in front of us by first telling us what promises he's given to us if we will consecrate ourselves to divine love. Now, I am also going to dangle a carrot and say you will soon hear the voices of Donna Marine, no longer mine, but we're going in a particular order today, so we just will be getting to them quickly. Jesus said, "Because I am Jesus born incarnate, I am able to tender to souls truly consecrated to divine love certain spiritual benefits. Take special note of the word truly, for these graces will not pour out upon those who do not consecrate their hearts to divine love. This consecration cannot be accomplished superficially. To all those who will surrender to divine love, I promise these spiritual benefits. My assistance, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in coming deep into divine love. Through this, my heavenly assistance, a deepening awareness of God's holy and divine will in the present moment. The crosses in their lives will be more meritorious as they will be able to surrender more completely to them. Thus, as my victorious heart is embraced by a crown of thorns, so shall their own hearts be thus embraced, bringing to me sinners. Every burden in this life will be sweet and light by my grace. Your lives will be signs of divine love in the world. Those who live in the divine love and will of God will have peace in this life and the promise of salvation at their death. It is then my mother will come for them with her angels. All of these I give to you to make known along with the consecration." And then he said, "which is forthcoming," dangling it a little more in front of us. The next, on October 11th, Jesus said, "Please record these words. I wish today to describe to you the soul who is truly consecrated to divine love. The benefits of such a consecration are many, as I have told you, but the ones so disposed are few. Such a soul who is consecrated to me through divine love has become a martyr of love. He has died to self and the world, only partaking in such indulgences as necessity dictates. The soul has relinquished everything to divine love, the heart of his Savior. He seeks only to love me more, to please me more, and to be united in me. The soul truly consecrated to divine love recognizes each present moment as an opportunity to surrender his will to the divine will. The soul is a martyr of love because he has died to all else for love of me. He seeks no other pleasure except my pleasure. He follows no other path save the one I choose for him. He is dead to the world and lives for me, so that I may live through him. There are few today who even desire such union with me. Most still struggle to be perfected in holy love. Union with me in and through divine love is something few grasp at. But I call all people to this divine love and every nation. Please make it known." And then after Jesus had given us the consecration that Don had read to us at the beginning that evening at the prayer service, which was a prayer service for Our Lady of the Pillar, Jesus said, Tonight I invite you to consecrate yourselves to my divine love, which is my most sacred heart and the New Jerusalem. To do so means that you conform your will to the holy and divine will of God. My mother will assist you through the grace of her heart. And we're extending to you tonight the blessing of our united hearts. So there we had it, the build-up, and finally the consecration itself. Now, Don, you had some more messages to read for us that explain something about this.
This was from October 15th. In regard to the consecration itself, Jesus appeared and said, I am your Jesus, born incarnate. My sister, some who recite the consecrations to divine love will recite it with their lips, but not have understanding in their heart. It's like receiving a present, but not opening it. Therefore, I have come to bring each heart deeper into the consecration. When you surrender to me your appearance, it means you are not distracted by the way others perceive you, either on the outside or the inside. This means you do not make excuses for yourself. You do not concern yourself for your reputation, so long as you are on the path of holy love. Further, it means you do not pride yourself on achievement, but understand all good is accomplished through me. The only concern for your physical appearance should be that you appear simple, neat, and clean as my representative. As to your health, often my cross comes to you as a physical ailment. Do not let it become a physical complaint. Seek help in the world and allow me to work through the medicine and doctors. Accept as God's will a cure or no cure. As to your comforts, this is an area where many sacrifices can be given to me. Do not always eat and drink only what you like best, but offer me something less desirable. If you cannot sleep, instead of tossing and turning, come to me in prayer. Go after unpleasant tasks instead of avoiding them. In this, let your sacrifice be hidden. If you have a tendency to procrastinate, pray for the grace to overcome this as it leads to confusion. Begin and finish all the tasks before you. Do not avoid people who do not agree with you or who you find unpleasant. Each person is put in your life so that you can be holy love to them. In all of this, see God's holy and divine will for you, for it is there.
Beautiful explanation. And just to go back and interject, that he was very specific about explaining health, appearance, and comforts, because in the consecration he asked us to surrender those. And so then he kindly explained to us, as we were all frantically trying to figure out how we were supposed to do that, he explained to us in detail exactly what we can do to make that happen.
Well, some of us were frantic, Judy.
Oh, some of us, okay. Others were a little more self-confident.
Yeah. Some of us have broken the mirror, so we don't have a mirror to look in anymore.
Now, Don, would you like to read us what he told us on the 14th? Because he came with another prayer.
Okay. This is from October 14th. This is a prayer given. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit of God, I come before you as I have consecrated my body and soul to divine love. I ask your assistance in living out this consecration in every present moment. Help me to surrender to every cross and to recognize and respond to every precious grace you place in my life. Through my consecration to divine love, I beg your assistance in annihilating my own will and living in your divine will. Amen. And he continued to Maureen. Jesus said, Sister, I am your Jesus born incarnate, and I have come bearing this promise. Recite this prayer with the consecration to divine love daily, and you will receive an angel by your side to assist you in faithfulness to the consecration.
Another angel. You know, we're going to be so crowded, there are going to be fewer and fewer people who can fit in a room. With all these angels who are helping us, it's just wonderful.
We definitely sure need their help, too, because
we do.
Things are so bad today.
That's right. Now, I think as we continue on, the 15th, was a message that you were going to read, Don? Or you did the 15th already?
There was another one on the 15th. It was very short.
Okay.
Jesus said, My dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to understand that the more you surrender to my divine love, the more you will be given the grace to execute the divine will in your life. This is how you must live, devoted to divine love and the divine will, for the two are one.
Excellent. Well, now Jesus started talking to us about his heart itself. And he started on the 16th, and then there are two messages on 17th and 18th that Maureen will read for us. And these explanations are just fabulous. Here on the 16th, Jesus said, "My sister, there are many chambers in my heart of hearts, which is divine love. The door to each chamber is unlocked through self-will, self-surrender. Each doorway leads you deeper into divine love, deeper into my heart, until the soul reaches the deepest, most intimate chamber of divine union and compliance with the divine will of God. In this most intimate chamber, the soul knows me as never before. He has no wants save to love me more. His happiness is my happiness. He is willing to sacrifice anything to console me. Few reach this chamber. The first door the soul must open is perhaps the most difficult. Through the flame of my mother's heart, the soul recognizes its faults and failings. By a movement of free will, he decides to overcome his weaknesses, to let them be burned away through the flame of holy love. Yes, the first doorway to divine love is holy love. It is the purgative stage. The soul may open this door, quite committed to the path he sees before him, but because he gives in to Satan's temptations, finds himself outside the first door again. Over and over, he may have to recommit to holy love. Finally, he will be less tempted to old weaknesses. He will recognize them and avert them. Now he can approach the first door to divine love. Once through this doorway, a great peace comes upon the soul. He's able to go deeper into prayer. He's more aware of the grace of the present moment. Indeed, he is able to recline in my heart and find a respite herein. He does not take joy in so-called worldly pleasures anymore. His joy is in me. The soul drifts along in this sea of calm, recognizing the more frequently the difference between his wants and his needs. In this chamber, the soul has few wants." Now, Maureen, did you have one from the 17th that you'd like to read for us?
Yes. Jesus came and he said, "There are degrees of submission and compliance to the divine will. This is what the doors to the chambers of my heart represent. So you see, each door is the divine will, but entrance to each chamber requires greater surrender and commitment. Now the first door, holy love, reveals your glaring faults. The next chamber of my heart asks your more perfect surrender. In this chamber, little flaws in love come to light. After the soul drifts on the sea of calm when he is first admitted to the second chamber, he is able to see certain habits or attachments that hinder him from going deeper into divine love, my heart. Waves of emotion toss him to and fro. At one minute, the soul experiences dryness. The next moment, he receives consolation. If he perseveres in overcoming his small attachments and inordinate habits, he will be ready to move into the next chamber of my heart. In this chamber, the virtues bloom and the fruits of the Spirit ripen. The soul may think his progress is unremarkable, but in fact, few souls enter this chamber and try to be perfected in love to such a degree. This is the chamber from which I choose my saints, my martyrs of love. But it is also the chamber where souls are most severely tested by Satan. The soul needs to use heroic virtue in this chamber lest he slip into discouragement. My sister, you will please make all this known."
Thanks, Maureen. There's one more message, and we're going to ask you to wait a little longer for that one as we are out of time, where Jesus tells us not to worry about which chamber we're in. Okay. Thank you so much, and please stay with us to say the Rosary and the United Hearts Chaplet.